Okay, so today's daf Yud Beis. We are on the top of Yud Beis. So yesterday we had a machlokas, a parrot steerer in a brisa about whether or not nigei batim and by extension chiyuv mezuzah can apply to a base knesses and a base medrash. One brisa said yes, one brisa said no. We've gained down three answers. The third answer we gave was a difference between whether or not the shul is in the krach, right? It's in the big city or in the kfarim or in the small city, and we said that the krachim, it was a case where it's a big city, it's not individualized, and therefore there's no specific ownership, and therefore there would be no nigei batim, and also there would be no chiyuv mezuzah. On the kfarim, Rashi said kol ba'alav nikarim, right? Everyone knows, everyone's a family, everyone knows each other in the shul, and therefore it's almost like a partnership, and therefore chiyuv mezuzah and the possibility of having. It's possible, not that if you saw like the mold on the wall, it could theoretically be negei batim. We wouldn't be able to ignore it. So the Gemara then says on the top line, "Utekrachim eim etam benegayim." Is it really true that the shuls, the makom hakadosh in the big cities, are not susceptible to becoming tamei with negayim? Batanya, we have the following brisa. The pasuk says by negayim, it says Achuz aschem, like your inheritance, your where you've grabbed. Achuz aschem mitam v'negayim, where it's yours, that can become tam v'negayim. Ve'ein Yerushalayim mitam v'negayim, but Yerushalayim, which is not yours apparently according to this, cannot be mitam v'negayim. Okay, it's Tanakama. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda says ani lo shemati. No, really, what it means is ela makom mikdash bilvad. Right, only thing that can Yerushalayim that cannot become tameh b'minagayim is the makom hamikdash. Right, Rashi says, "Why shekishkana David as Gorin me'arona when David bought the city of Yerushalayim me'arona Yevusi gava hakesef mikol shevet b'shevet." The money used was collected from every shevet. Right, kidamrinam b'sefri b'shchilas gazim. So therefore, it belonged to everybody. It wasn't a specific ownership there. Right, so he says ela makom mikdash bilvad. Hop, but the inference is bate knesios, bate midrashos. So the only thing that's not with Havim Negayim is the makom hamikdash. But shuls, bate knesios, bate midrashos, and the study halls mit Havim Negayim. That's going to be mit Havim Negayim in Yerushalayim. Afal gab de krachim ninu, even though it's in the city. So everyone seems to be saying that, as opposed to our brisa, opposed to our answer number three, which said that shuls in the big cities do not. Are not susceptible to tumas negayim, and by extension don't need a chiyuv mezuzah. Here we see that the only thing that was putter, that was exempt from negayim in Yerushalayim was the makom hamikdash. But the shuls were.
What it is that since David collected the money from everybody, that's why it's not that here by a.
So the only reason why that you putter from negayim is because you have a situation where everyone collected the money for this place.
So what happens when everybody collects money for a shul?
But the shul was built in. That's the only thing that the brisa gave away. The brisa said only the makom hamikdash.
But it gave a reason, and the reason seemingly would apply to shuls also.
Why?
Everybody collects money for a shul, so it's not anybody's one thing. It's a communal thing. Same thing like beis hamikdash. Right. That's the svara. The svara is that because everybody collected for it.
So the shuls in Yerushalayim were not like that. The shuls in Yerushalayim were stam shul. Is not like that. It's not collected from every shevet. There it's collected by every shevet, so therefore it didn't belong. It's not ever achuz aschem, because it's achuz aschem. No one has a right to that area because it belongs to everybody. But the shul, if it's not collected like that, then they would. It's just achuz aschem. It doesn't belong to every shevet. So the Gemara says, "Ema." So now we have a kasha. The kasha is, but the shuls you see are susceptible to negayim. So the Gemara says, "Ema." Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, it's different." Ani lo shamati ela makom mikudash bilvad. No, when I say that, what is not makom mikdash? Maybe this goes what you're saying, Josh. Makom mikudash. Any holy places. Any place that has kedusha. What has kedusha? A shul also has kedusha. So everything in your shrine is subject to negayim, except for any place that has makom mikudash. What's makom mikudash? A shul. So a shul also is not susceptible to negayim. So but my kamifugi. So what's the argument between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? My kamifugi. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama who says that in Yerushalayim you can't have negayim, there's no such thing as negayim. It's because Yerushalayim lo nitchalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim is an international city. You know, it's like what Washington, D.C. is supposed to be, as opposed to what they want to do for it, you know, now. Right? It's supposed to be a city that doesn't belong, doesn't have its own identity. It belongs to everybody. Right? An international city. It's what they want to do with Yerushalayim in 48. They want to make it an international city. So it's not on the Tchakel Shvatim. Therefore, no one has an achuza. No one has a hold on it. So therefore, it doesn't have an achuza. It's not subject to Nagayim. The Rabbi Yehuda saw, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Yerushalayim is Chalkal Shvatim. Yerushalayim is given out to the Shvatim. You'll see we have a steer in two brises. It belongs to Shvatim. It belongs to split between Yehuda and Binyamin. So parts of it is Yehuda, parts of it Binyamin. And therefore, there's an Achuza. What's not going to be subject to Nagayim? Just those areas that are holy, like the Batei Knessios. That's not going to have subject to Nagayim. Right. So the Gemara says, "Upluta dahani tanoi," and their argument about whether Yerushalayim and the Chalkal Shvatim is going to be is going to be subject to the same machlokes we have now with following brisos. The Tanya, we have a brisos. This brisos appears a few times. Tanya, Mahaya bechalkal shel Yehuda. What was in Yehuda's portion? Harabayis, so that the actual Harabayis up to Halishkos, to the chambers. Hazaros, like Ezra's Nashim, I don't know if the article has a picture or not of where it goes up to. So it's basically up to, from the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash, basically up to the Mizbeach, was in the portion of Yehuda. Right? Umahaya Bechalkal Shel Binyamin, and what was in the portion of Binyamin? So that's Ulam, right, the big building, the Heichal, where the Kodesh called Kodashim were, or Beis Kodesh Kodashim, and the Beis Kodesh Kodashim. The Ritzua Haisa Yotza Mechalkal Shel Yehuda, it wasn't just necessarily a straight border. There was this little piece of property that stuck out from Yehuda, V'nechneses L'chalkal Shel Binyamin, and it extended into the portion of Binyamin, U'bahaya Mizbeach Banoi, and that's where the Mizbeach was. So there was a portion of the Mizbeach, which again, the Mizbeach should be in the portion of Binyamin, but there was like this little strip of land that went out that covered into the Mizbeach, into the portion of Binyamin from Yehuda. But the problem, so Binyamin was upset, and Binyamin was upset all day that his part of his portion was taken up by Yehuda, he's upset about it all day, therefore, because he was upset that a certain portion of the Beis HaMikdash didn't belong to him and it was taken from him from Yehuda, the fichach zocher Binyamin Tzadik, that's how Binyamin Tzadik was worthy, v'nasush ushbizkan likvura, and that's where he became the host for the kvura, the kodesh hakodashim was in his property. Shneamar ubein teifav shachein, right? Binyamin, he says kolikman kol yom ubein teifav shachein. So therefore, you see that here, but interestingly, what do you mean? So he was upset about the fact that the Mizbeach was in Yehuda, so he already knew the proportions of the Beis HaMikdash, so he knew the Kodesh HaKadosh was already in his chelik, and therefore he zochet to get the Kodesh HaKadosh. I mean, he already knew. If he's upset about the fact that the Mizbeach is not in his portion, so he knew what was in and what was not in his portion. So how was he zochet to have the Kodesh HaKadosh in his portion? It was already in his portion. Right? But the point of this brisa is that you see Yerushalayim, including the Beis HaMikdash, is divided up to is Nischalkal L'Shvatim. There are parts of it that belong to Yehuda, parts of it belong to Binyamin. So that's why there's also, sorry.
You don't know the answer to my question.
I'm just raising it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So there's also if you remember the laying of the Mizbeach. They had the Yisod, it had a foundation on the bottom. It only had a foundation on the western and northern side, and it had a little bit coming out onto the eastern side, a little bit coming out onto the southern side. That's because the place where it didn't have a Yisod was the part that belonged to Yehuda. So that's why, so it said to separate, you know, that portion was Yehuda, that wasn't Binyamin. For Sotosa says, right, he said, Tosfos points out, it says, Tema, the Perek Ezu Komen, the fifth Perek of Zvachim, we say, the Keren Jeromis Mizrachis, right, the southeast part of the Mizbeach, the corner, Lo Hayi Lo Yisod. It didn't have a Yisod, it didn't have this little base, Lefisha Lo Hayi Bechalko Shel Toref, because it wasn't in the Chelik of Binyamin. Right, Im came, so according to the, well, that's fine if you say that Yerushalayim was Mizchalko L'Shvatim, but according to the Manda Amr and Lo Mizchalko, that there was no property lines in Yerushalayim, it belonged to everybody. Why was it? Why was there no yisod on that side? According to my number, says that Yerushalayim was nitzchak l'shvatim. So it says only the Binyamin side has the yisod. Yehudas don't. But if Yerushalayim is not nitzchalka, what's the difference between the different sides of Mizbeach? Why does one side have the yisod and one side not? Tosos on the bottom says Yish Lomar that it's a halacha gemiri. I don't know. He quotes a pasuk in Divrei Yamin. It's a good question. What do you need? What's the difference between each side of the Mizbeach if it's not doesn't belong to anybody? Okay. That's the first Tana. The high Tana Savar, the next Tana holds Yerushalayim lo nitzchalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the shvatim. The Tanya, we have a following brisa. The brisa here says, interesting brisa. It says ein maskirim batim Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to Airbnb your house in Yerushalayim. The only law, you're not allowed to charge. You're not allowed to rent out your house in Yerushalayim. The fish ain't a shohen because it doesn't really belong to you. The people, I guess, have permission. You know, sort of like now, there's a whole to do. Like, who owns the property in Yerushalayim? A lot of it's all owned by the JNF. A lot of it's owned by the Greek churches. They own a lot of the property in Yerushalayim. So it's saying here, they're saying it doesn't belong to you, and therefore you're not allowed to charge rent for it, right? So therefore, the fish ain't a shohen. Rabbi Laza bar Shimon Omer. Aflo mito, you can't even rent out your beds. Lefichach, therefore, so the people who lived there, they weren't able to charge for, you know, hosting. What do they do? Lefichach, oros kachim. So the hides of the kachim, of the shlamim, and the items that belong to, not the olos, was going to the kohanim, but the oros, other oros kachim, bale ush bezichina, not the tomas roa. So the host used to grab them. If they had something for payment. They would grab these for payment. I don't know why that's not
how
theft.
Is that different than taking cash?
Right. No, they would do it, do bizroa. They would force people to do it. They weren't supposed to, I guess. Right. Also, don't go bizroa. I just don't know why you're allowed to do that. That's, if you're not allowed to get payment, you're not allowed to do that. Right. So Amar Abaye says, Shema Mino, you see from here, Orach Ara Lemishbak Inish Gufa Umash Lushbiza. Even if you're not being charged, you should give some gifts. Like Gufa is like a can. Mashka is skins. You should give something. You should give something to your host. Okay. So the Gemara that said. So you see from here, there's a machlokas tana. No brisa. One brisa says Yerushalayim is nischalkal l'shvatim. One brisa says it's not nischalkal l'shvatim. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, ubitekfarim mimetame. Going back to our answer, what the distinction was about which shuls. We just proved that the shuls in Yerushalayim, the shuls are in Yerushalayim are not metame benegayim. Because Rabbi Yehuda says makamos mekudash, but the Brisa also said the answer we gave before was that the shuls in the villages are subject to tumas negayim. The Gemara says, is that true? Over the kfarim mimetam benegayim, can they really become tamim negayim in the villages? Vatanya leachuza. The pasuk says leachuza ad sheyich b'shuosa. You only become subject to negayim until you capture it. So but kafshuosa, what happens if you captured it? But you haven't divided it up yet. You haven't divided the portion to Shvatim. Or Chalkul Shvatim, you gave it to certain Shevet, I guess it's in the beginning of like by Yoshua. You gave it to Shvatim, Velo Chalkul Beis Avos, but you didn't give it to the clan. But Chalkul Beis Avos, the ink called Echon Makir Shalom Minayin. But if I gave it to the clan, but not any individual recognizes this to be his own area, and how do I know Minayin what? Minayin that it's still not subject to Negevatim. Tamid Lomar, Uba Asher Lo Habayis. It goes into his house. Lo Habayis. Misha Meyuchad Lo. Only can apply to a person who, that's his house. Yotze Elu She'ein Meyuchadim Lo. Comes and excludes any house that's not specifically yours. So Shul is not specifically yours. It belongs to the community. Oh, we may recognize everybody there, but the Gemara says it's not specifically yours. So therefore, how can you say that Nigei Batim applies to the Shul? It only applies to some, to an individually owned, recognized house. So Gemara says, Ela machvartet gishtanina meikara. You're right. We're going to get rid of that last answer, and we're going to have to go back to the other two answers we had to explain the difference between whether or not the shuls are makabel tumah or not, whether it was one was Rabbanan, one was Rav Meir, or whether it had a beis dira or doesn't have a beis dira. But there's a distinction between kfarim and krachim. We're going to have to knock out, because we proved that even in the kfarim, you still should be subject to nigei batim. Now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. We go back in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that what do we do with the Kohen Gadol? We separated the Kohen Gadol for 7 days, lest he become Tamei, and we were Mesakin lo Kohen Acher Tachtov, Shema Yair lo Bopsol. We set aside, we prepare a backup Kohen in case the Kohen number one gets puzzled. So the backup Kohen can come in and do the Avodah. So the Gemara says, O Mesakin lo Kohen Acher. So Pshita, it's clear, Irabo psul kodim tamid shel shachar. If Kohen number one gets a psul before anything avoda starts in the day, okay, you have to remember also, when it comes to the avoda on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would change his clothes a lot. Normally the Kohen Gadol wears 8 garments. On Yom Kippur, he wears 4 garments, but that's not completely true. It's only on Yom Kippur, when doing the avoda that's specific for Yom Kippur, does he wear 4 garments. When the Kohen Gadol is doing the regular daily avoda, like the Korban Tavid, or the Torah of the day, things that were specific, that were not specific for the day, but applied every day, he would wear the 8 garments. So you would know that he's the Kohen Gadol. That's why in Muslim, we always talk about he would do the mikvah and change his clothing, but he's constantly changing his clothing. So, Tamid Shel Shachar is a voda that's done regularly. So therefore, he would wear the 8 garments. So, Irbo Psul Kodim Tamid Shel Shachar, if the Psul of the Kohen took place before Tamid Shel Shachar, so Mechanchin also with Tamid Shel Shachar. So we would, a Mechanich, we would, I guess, prepare, or, you know, it would be, the idea is that the second Kohen has to now be appointed somehow as the Kohen Gadol. So as the Kohen Gadol, we have to be wearing Kohen Gadol clothing. The assumption is if he just goes and does the avoda with the 4 garments, well, that looks like a regular Kohen. Because a regular Kohen only had 4 garments. How does he the Kohen Gadol? So if the psul took place before the Korban Tavid, it's no problem. The second Kohen puts on all 8 garments and does the Korban Tavid. Now he's doing an avoda with the garments of the Kohen Gadol, so we recognize that he's a Kohen Gadol, right? So he says, Irbo psul kolim tam shal shachar, minchakin also with tam shal shachar. Right? So as Rashi says, he says, pshita ira, the Kohen Gadol psul b'yom kippur kolim tam shal shachar, minchakin also lezem shtam shal shachar, tam shal shachar. So Shiyasehu, this guy, the second guy, he will do the Tamid Shel Shachar b'shmoni begadim with the 8 clothing. The mechunach l'kohen gadula. And now he's been mechunach. He's going to be appointed as the Kohen Gadol. Kodem shegiyah avodas Yom Kippur. Before the avodah Yom Kippur starts. Going back in the Gemara. Ella irubo psul achar Tamid Shel Shachar. But if the psul of Kohen number 1 takes place after the Tamid Shel Shachar, which means now we're starting to do the Yom Kippur avodah, b'ma mechanchin oso. What are we establishing the second person as the Kohen Gadol? Rashi says, "Hari avodas Yom Kippurim sha'achar tamid, avodah Yom Kippur after the avodah of the Korban Tamid, it's ba'arba begadim, which was 4 clothing. Upamahu nikar shu Kohen Gadol me'olam. How do we know that he's the Kohen? How do you recognize? How is he recognizable that he's the Kohen Gadol? Right? Ve'heichan yotze mehedyotos. Where did he remove himself from being a regular Kohen Hedyot? Shetei avodas hayom nasis Kohen Gadol." The avodas of Yom Kippur has to be Kohen Gadol. At what point did he leave for the status of Kohen Hedyot to become Kohen Gadol? If it was before the Korban Tavid, he left because he did an avoda with the 8 garments. So 3 answers. So Mabechan Kno. So Amar Rav Ad Bar Aha. Rav Ad Rav says, but Avnate with the Avnate with the belt. It's a different belt. Rashi is going to say, we'll explain that the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol during the year was shatness. It had a blue wool garment in it as well. The avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was only made out of linen. It's made of boots. There's going to be machlokas of what was the avnet, the belt of the Kohen Hedyot during the year. Was it only made of linen? Did it also have shatness? So if you're going to say, so Rashi says, ba'avnet, look at Rashi, ba'avnet. But osam dalet begadim, within the 4 pieces of clothing that he's going to wear, yesh heker l'kuhuna gadola. There's a recognizable that he's a Kohen Gadol. Shavneto shal Kohen Gadol ba'avnet shom kippurim shal boots. The avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is only made out of linen. Like you see, ba'avnet bad yachgor, v'zeh ad akshav haya avragil lavod b'shal klayim. And this person is going to hold that the regular clothes, that all Kohanim wore shatnez during the year, but on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol wore only linen. So therefore, now that he's wearing only a linen belt, it's recognizable he's wearing the Kohen Gadol. There's no blue thread in his belt. Right, so. Okay. The machlokas here is whether or not it was he had it or not. All right. Machlokas Midrash is great, and their svarim are great, and stuff like that is great. Will we be using their stuff when the Mashiach comes? I don't know.
No. Machlokas Midrash said that the reason why they use a yellow bell, the red one, separate different avodos, so they don't get mixed up.
Okay. I don't.
Very novel.
They must. I don't know their source.
Right.
I don't know.
Somebody asked some sort of source, or
I don't know their source. They know more Gemara than me, and I'm only learning Gemara Yom Yud Beis. I don't know. Okay. So that's Hani Chalamanda Amrav Noisel Shalcoin Gadol Zer of Nation Cohen Hedgehog. That all is good, fine, and dandy if you say that during the year the Cohen Gadol and the Cohen Hedgehog both had the blue, both had shatnez in their belt. Therefore, so you can recognize that on Yom Kippur the Cohen Gadol is now wearing no shatnez. Elamanda Amar Avnato Shalcoin Gadol Lo Zehu Avnato Shalcoin Hedgehog Michael Amimar. But according to the Manda Amar, who says that no, during the year the Cohen Hedgehog did not wear shatnez; it was only white. Only the Kohen Gadol had permission to wear the shatnez avnate. So therefore, what does that mean? That means the belt that this guy was wearing all year is the exact same belt that he's now wearing on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, everyone agrees that the Kohen Gadol does not have the shatnez, the wool in his belt. So now there's no difference between the yearly Kohen Hedgehog belt and the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So it's not recognizable as Kohen Gadol. So what are you going to do? So Michael and Meimar, so Amar Abaye. Abaye says, okay, no big deal. Lo v'shmona, let him do something with the eight. He'll put on eight garments, so chosen as Kohen Gadol, umahapech v'tzinora, and I guess go up to the mizbeach with this big pitchfork and turn over the coals on the flame on the maracha. Do something with the eight, right? Because the Amar Rav Huna, because Huna says zar shahafach v'tzinora chay misa, because that type of voda is enough. It's a real voda, can only be done by a kohen, and therefore do something, right? Rashi says v'tzinora v'mazli, some sort of fork. Right, so you do something, so Abaye says you do something, put on the eight, all right, it's too late to do the Korban Tamid, put on the eight and stoke the flames with the eight garments. Rav Papa says, no, it's no big deal. What's the problem? He's going to put on the four garments, and he's going to do Avodas Yom Kippurim. The Avodah itself is going to show you that, he says, Avodas Omechan Choso. The Avodah itself is what's going to create the fact that he's showing that he's the Kohen Gadol. The Avodah in Yom Kippur is only done by the Kohen Gadol. He puts on all four, and now he does the Avodah. That must be the Kohen Gadol. So they have no problem there. Right? He says, Milo Tanya, because he brings a source or a proof. Brisa says, Kol HaKelim Sha'asa Moshe. All the Kelim that Moshe did in the Midbar, Mishichasa Mikdat Mikacha. What made them Kodesh? Made them Kodesh is anointing them. You had to do something with them. Mikan de Elach, but going forward, what was done? How did the Kelim become Kodesh? Avodas on the Chanchan, son. The Avodah, actually doing an Avodah with them, is what gave it its Kedusha. Hachanami, so to hear, by the Kohen, the backup Kohen Gadol, what's going to make him, turn him into the Kohen Gadol? It's Avodah so Mechan Choso. The Avodah itself is going to be Mechanich him. Right? Rashi says, Tap Rashi, Avodah so Yom Kippur Ma'atzma. The Avodah of Yom Kippur itself. She'ena Kasher Elba Kohen Gadol. It's only Kasher by the Kohen Gadol. Vizeh Ovdah, and he's going to do that work. So Mechan Choso the Kohen Gadol. That's going to create for him the status of being the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now we're going to talk about this belt again, and we're going to have two memories. We're going to have one from Ravdimi, one from Ravin, which makes sense. Ravdimi, Ravin always came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel with memories, with statements, and sometimes their statements are a little different from one from the other. So first we're going to have Ravdimi, whose statement, who's going to bring down a machlokas, and he's not going to be able to attribute which Tana holds which, and then Ravin is going to be able to, is going to be able to attribute a side to each author. So Ki Asa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came, Amar, he said as follows, Avneto shall Kohen Hedjot. The Avnet that's worn yearly by the regular Kohen, Rebbe v'Rebbe Lazar Rav Shimon. So Machlok in Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar Rav Shimon. Right? Chad Amar, one says, again, the belt worn by the Kohen Hedjot throughout the year, Chad Amar shall Kilayim. One said it had Kilayim, means it was the same belt as the Kohen Gadol during the year. The Chad Amar shall Butz. And one said, no, it didn't have Kilayim, it was only made of linen, meaning it was the same as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So to Stayim, we're going to prove the Rebbe who the Amar Shal Kilayim. That Rebbe is the one who holds that the Kohen Hedjot also wore a shatnez, a Kilayim belt during the year. D'tanya, because we have a brisa that says, Ein bein Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedjot, there's no difference between the clothing that's worn by the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedjot, Ella Avnet, except for the belt. Divrei Rebbe. That's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Af lo Avnet. There's no, even the Avnet's not different. The Gemara says, Amos. Well, when are we talking about, where is the statement being made? What time of year? That there's no difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. Inim v'shayim os ha-shana, if you could tell me something about a regular day during the year, what do you mean there's no difference between what the Kohen Gadol wears and what the Kohen Hedjot wears? Right? Tuva Ika. There's a lot that's different. Kohen Gadol Mishamesh Bishmona, the Hedro Ba'arba. The Kohen Gadol has eight garments, Kohen Gadol has eight garments, Kohen Hedro has four. So we tell me the only difference is the Avnit. Ella must be Ella be Yom Kippurin. Must be talking about Yom Kippur, where they're all wearing four garments. And we see there's a difference between the belt, because the Kohen Gadol, we know, that's a given fact, the belt of the Kohen Gadol is only made out of linen. And we say this is different than the belt of the Kohen Hedjot. Must mean the Kohen Hedjot is also wearing a chatnez on one. So Rebbe seems to indicate that during the year, the Kohen Hedjot was allowed to wear the chatnez belt. He had kalayim on his belt. The Gemara says, no, Amri Lola Olam. We're talking about during the rest of the year. During the rest of the year, there's a lot of differences between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. He says, no, Ubahanach the Shavim. It's only talking about the four garments that are the same, that are worn, the four same garments that are worn by the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. Where they match, there's no difference. Rebbe's going to say there's no difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. The Kohen Gadol didn't remain in the year where Shatnez. So that means there's no difference. The only difference is going to be the belt, which means that the Kohen Hedjot does not wear Shatnez. So therefore, it depends on how you interpret the Brisa, Rebbe can hold one side or the other side, and therefore there's no proof which side Rebbe holds. Tosus just asked that there are those who hold that the hat, right, of the Kohanim is different. He says, but by the Kohen Gadol, it says Mitznefet, by the Kohen Hedjot, it says Mikbas. Because he says that the Kohen Gadol's hat was a little more narrow, because he had to put the tefillin and the tzitz there. So maybe there is another difference between the hats or not. So Tosus tries to give an answer, it's not really different. It's the same item, just looks a little different. One has it's like a big brimmed hat and a small brimmed hat, still considered a hat. Right? But it seems to me that there could be other differences. The point being here is that from Rav Dimi's statement, we cannot prove that Rebbe's the one who holds that the Kohen Hedjot had Kalayim in his belt. Because maybe we're talking about during the year, we're talking about the articles of clothing that match up. And we say that the belts are different. If the belts are different, that would mean the Kohen Gadol does have Kalayim, and the Kohen Hedjot does not have Kalayim. If we're talking about Yom Kippur, then we say that there's no difference, except for the belt, because the Kohen Gadol doesn't have Kalayim. We mean the Kohen Hedjot does have Kalayim. So we don't know which way we're interpreting it. We have no proof what Rebbe holds. Now, Ki Asa Ravin, but when Ravin came, he made it clear. Amar, he says, Avnito Shal Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim Divrei Kol Shel Putz. Everyone knows that the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that is made out of linen. B'shar Yom Shoshana, during the rest of the year, Divrei Kol Shel Kelayim. Everyone knows, holds that the Kohen Gadol's belt is made out of Kelayim. Lo Nechlo, what's the Machlokas? El Abav Neto Shel Kohen Hedjot. It's with the belt of the regular Kohen, Bein B'shar Yom Shoshana, Bein B'Yom Kippurim, all year, no difference, right? Bein B'shar, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Shel Kelayim. Here it's clear. We tribute a sheet to the Rebbe. Rebbe says that the Kohen Hedjot wore a Kilayim belt. Verbalazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shel Butz. And Rabbi Shimon said, no, the Kohen Hedjot only wore a linen belt. But here it's clearly attributable to Rebbe, who holds that the Kohen Hedjot os belt during the year, just like the Kohen Gadol's belt during the year, was made out of Kilayim. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Afana Nami Tanina. I also have a brace that supports this. Supports what? Supports the fact that Rebbe holds the belt of the Kohen Hedjot during the year was made out of Kilayim. Pasuk says, okay, the full Pasuk here is, V'lavash HaKohen Mido Bad. Kohen has to wear, you know, measured clothing. U'mikmes Eivad Yilbash HaBsaro. He has to wear pants to wear on his clothing. Ve'irimus HaDeshen. He'll lift up the ashes. Asher Tochal HaEshes Ola. Al HaZbeah for someone's HaZbeah. So it says here, V'lavash HaKohen Mido Bad. U'mikmes Eivad Yilbash. Why Lavash Yilbash? He should just say, V'lavash HaKohen Mido Bad U'mikmes Eivad. Why does he have Al-Bisaro? Why does he say Yilbash again? So the Gemara says, Al-Bisaro, that's the Pasuk. Ma Talmud Lomer Yilbash. Why do I have to say Yilbash? The problem is because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk here only mentions two articles of clothing. It says Mido Bad, which is the tunic, I guess, and Miknese Bad, and the pants. So the extra Yilbash comes in, Lahavi Mitznefet Va'avneit La'Ramat HaDeshen, to tell you that he has to also wear, you know, the hat and the belt when he's taking up the ashes. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Rabbi Dosa says, no, Lahavi Bigde Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, Shake Shem Kohen Hedjot. Rabbi Dosa says, no, what it's come to teach you is that the four white clothing, articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur, I guess if there's a Kohen Hedjot who's the same exact size as him, he can wear that during the year. Meaning, according to Rabbi Dosa, it's the exact same clothing. Right? Which means, according to Rabbi Dosa, the belt, because we know the belt on Yom Kippur did not have Kalayim, and if the Kohen Hedjot can wear it during the year, it means it didn't. The Kohen Hedjot doesn't have Kalayim on his belt. Comes Rebbe and says, no, right? Rebbe says, Omar Shnei Tshuvas Bedavar. You can't. The Kohen Hedjo cannot wear during the year what a same sized Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. Number one, Chada Davneto Shal Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur Lo Zehu Avneto Shal Kohen Hedjo. Number one, the belt is different. The Kohen Gadol's belt did not have kilayim. The Kohen Hedjo's belt during the year will have kilayim, so you can't wear it. Again, it's a proof that Rebbe is the one who holds that the Kohen Hedjo during the year had kilayim on his belt. That's number one. But Ode, another question says, how in the world can you allow the holy vestments that are worn by the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur to now be used regularly during the year? That they went to Lefnayu Lefnim, they went to Kodesh HaKadoshim, to Shamash Mekadosh HaKala, and now we're going to lower them? We say, Malim HaKodesh Lo Maridim. How do you bring it down to a lower level Kedusha? Ella Matam Lo Mid Yilbash. So what is the extra word Yilbash according to Rebbe? It says, the Rabos Es HaShchakim. I don't know how to pronounce it. Shichakim or Shachakin?
Shichakin.
The Rabos Es Shichakin, which means worn down. Normally, the Kohen's clothing has to be nice, L'chvonu Tefaris. So you would think that maybe if it's a little worn down, you can't wear it. He says, no, as long as it doesn't have holes, but it's full, that's going to be okay. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, it's the kra, the lo tema, don't say, ki hechi din mit tashtim o mikurim, because if they're dirty or torn, they're psulin, because you need l'chvonu Tefaris, hachinami she takim lislo de ein nismak mashirus. How can you wear worn down clothing? You're not supposed to show any poverty in a place of wealth. So maybe it should be with worn down clothing. Yilvash says it's okay. As long as it's not torn or dirty, you're allowed to wear it. But the point here is that you see clearly that Rebbe is the one who holds, because one of the answers he gave to Rav Dosa, the reason why you can't wear the Kohen Hedjo, can't wear what the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, is because the belt is different. Kohen Gadol's belt did not have kilayim on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Hedjo's belt does have kilayim. Okay. The Azda Rav Dosa Tamei. But Rav Dosa lo goes lo shitaso, that you can wear the Kohen Gadol's clothing on Yom Kippur, can be worn by Kohen Hedjo during the year. A, number one, he's going to say that the belt is the same. And he's going to say, the Tanya, we have another price that says, Ve'init Hashem. The Pasuk says, it's in this passage, right? Uba Aaron el Oel Moed, Upasha es Big Day Habad, Aaron's going to come out of the Oel Moed, he's going to take off the linen clothing, Ashel Avash, Bevo El HaKodesh, the ones that he wore when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ve'init Hashem. And he leaves them there. Ve'nichum shan. So Rido says ve'nichum shan. The Tanakhama says milam etchit unim geniza. They have to be stored, put away. They have to be buried. They're done. Ve'nichum shan. Rabbi Dosa Omer shelo yishtamish ben Yom Kippur acher. Rabbi Dosa says no. It just means that every Yom Kippur you have to have a new set of clothing. But that doesn't mean that you're going to waste and get rid of them. Just take that clothing and give them to a different kohen for during the year. Okay. So we've proven that Rebbe is the one who holds that the belt of the kohen hedjo during the year has kilayim. Tana Rabbanan. Ira bo psul. Kohen Gadol, number one, gets a psul. Umina acher tachtav. And then we appoint, the backup comes and he becomes a Kohen Gadol. Vino acher tachtav. Okay, now Kohen Gadol, number one, gets better. So what happens to the status of Kohen Gadol, number two? So Rishon Chozhe Levodoso, the first one, he returns to his status of Kohen Gadol. Sheni, the second one, we say, Kol Mitzvah Kuna Gadol Alav. He's still a Kohen Gadol. He has to wear 8 garments. He can do the avodah of Kohen Gadol. We basically now have 2 Kohanim Gadolim, right? We have, like, you know, we have 2 prime ministers. You have 2 Kohanim Gadolim, right? Divri Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir says. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Rishon Chos Levodoso. The first one goes back to being the Kohen Gadol. The second can't have 2 presidents walking around the White House. That doesn't make sense, right? Right? So Rishon Chos Levodoso, Shani, the second one, he's like in this limbo status. Ain't no Roy Lolo Kohen Gadol, Lolo Kohen Hedjot. He can't be the Kohen Hedjot because he was already raised to a Kohen Gadol. He can't drop down, but he can't be the Kohen Gadol either because the first guy is the Kohen Gadol. So he's in this limbo status. He can't do anything. And Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef proves this. Maisa Yosef bin Elim bin Tzipori. We had a story with Yosef bin Elim who came from Tzipori. All right, so he's the backup. She'ira bo psul be Kohen Gadol. There was a psul in the Kohen Gadol. And they appointed Yosef bin Elam in his stead. And then the first guy came back. And the Chachamim said, Rishon Chos Levodoso. I don't know if this is Yom Kippur or not, but he was appointed a backup. The first guy goes back to his avoda. Sheni Einu Roi Lo LeKohen Gadol VeLo LeKohen Hedjo. The second guy can't be either. Kohen Gadol can't be the Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. How can you have 2? You can't have 2. Who's doing the? You have to have 1. Kohen Hedjot, Mishum Malon HaKodesh, Lo Meridim. Malon HaKodesh, Lo Meridim, you can't be Kohen Hedjot. What is fascinating to me is that this story about Yosef ben Elam appears in Josephus. It appears in Josephus in the Book of Antiquities, book number 17. So it says there, it brings a story. There, Josephus talking about the time of King of Herod. And then, so when Herod was getting older, he went completely mad. And he was just killing people all over the place. So there was one story of this person named Matthias. It's Matthias from Matthias-Yahu. And Matthias apparently stole the Roman eagle. You know, the story stole the Roman eagle. And Herod went nuts and killed him. And apparently there's another Matthias. And it says over here, maybe it's the same person, I don't know. It says over here, now it happened that during the time of the high priesthood of this Matthias, so this other Matthias is a Kohen Gadol, there was another person made high priest for a single day. There was another Kohen who became Kohen Gadol for one day. That very day which the Jews observe a fast, the same day, so maybe it is Yom Kippur, so it's the day that they observe a fast. The occasion was this, how did it happen? This Matthias, the high priest, this Matthias, the Kohen Gadol, on the night before the day that when the fast was to be celebrated, I guess the day before Yom Kippur, seemed in a dream to have a conversation with his wife. Huh. So he's separated, and he has a dream about his wife, obviously not a very clean dream, about his wife, why he's separated. He had a dream to have a conversation with his wife, and because he could not officiate himself, so he became Tamei, so he could not officiate himself on that account, Joseph, the son of Elymas, Yosef ben Elam, right, his kinsman, assisted him in that secret office. But Herod deprived this Matthias by priesthood and burnt the other Matthias. Herod just didn't let this Matthias go back, and they killed everybody. That's Yosef ben Elam, that's our case. But at least the Josephus gives a reason behind what happened. Is
What? How do you find that?
What?
How do you find that?
How do I find that? You do some research while you're preparing. You listen to a few people here and there. And so on the OU website also, Henry Abramson, Dr. Abramson, has the Jewish history in the DAF. So he pointed it out. And I heard it from somebody else. And then he gave the source of where it is. And then you go online, you type in Antiquities of the Jews. And it comes up in a PDF.
Why did he kill him then?
What?
Why did he kill him?
I can't hear you.
Why did Herod kill him then?
Because Herod was crazy. He was killing everybody.
Oh.
Herod went nuts.
He really didn't need an excuse.
He was a murderous madman. So now the Gemara just says, the Gemara, let's finish up. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Barachana says in Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, that the second Kohen Gadol is in this limbo status. But Umoda Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi agrees, Shim Avar Avar Avodasok Shera. If he goes ahead and does the Avoda of a Kohen Gadol, wearing the eight garments, he can't wear the four garments because then he's Mechusa Begadim. He's a Kohen Gadol. But if he wears the eight garments and does the Avoda, it's Kashab the Avod. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says also, Amar Rabbi Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, that he's in this limbo status. However, Moda Rabbi Yossi admits, in Mace Rishon, if the first Kohen Gadol then dies, right, Shechoz Levodoso, this backup, basically has first crack, should have first crack to be the Kohen Gadol, right? And Mar says, Pshita. He says, no, it's Pashit. No, that he gets it. Why wouldn't he? He says, no, Ma'al Detema, Havali Tzara Nechayim, Kamash Malan. Maybe you would say, that, no, we wouldn't allow the second guy to take over after the first guy dies, because then he becomes like a tsara, like a co-wife, meaning always hoping for the first person to die. There would be animosity. So we're not koshish for that. But he's going to say, I want this guy to die in order for me to come to Kohen Gadol. Tosfos just asked an interesting question, and I'm not sure when this question applies. Tosfos, we say, halachic Rav Yossi. Why do we care about halachic Rav Yossi? It's hilchos of the Mashiach. It doesn't apply nowadays. It's halachic the Mashiach. When Beis HaMikdash is built, we'll figure it out. What do we need to know that now? So the Tosfos in the bottom, his second answer, he says that the idea of Hilchos of the Mashiach is not a question that the Gemara asks. It's one Shita, one Tana, one Amora always asks Hilchos of the Mashiach. He says, Rish Lomar, the Ein Hashas Tofes Zeb Kasha Hilchos of the Mashiach El Rav Yosef Maksha Oso. That's only Rav Yosef asks it. Right? Aval Hashash Ein Ochoshesh. The Gemara itself, the Stam Gemara, is never concerned about this question of Hilchos of the Mashiach. Okay. But Tosfos on top says, he gives a no. He says, Nitzan Hilchos of the Mashiach. You can have a practical ramification, even as manazeh. He says, "V'yesh lomar di'ika nafkamina filu b'smanazeh lefarnis hamemuna al tzibur." That the person was appointed to collect the tzedakah of the tzibur. Other rishonim bring down maybe a chazan, somebody who has a position in the shul, and for 1 year he gets sick. He's supposed to daven on Yom Kippur, and he gets sick. Something happens to him, and then you have somebody else who is appointed that year. When the first person gets better, it's his job, right? He says.
He says,
"The Avar Machmas Onis, Kishayavar Onis, Choser Lusiruso." Right? But gam noagim kavod b'sheni. But you also have kavod for the second person also. Maybe you give him a liya, give him something. But it is. He said, so two answers. Tosis, answer number two is that this question of Hilchos Mashiach is only Rav Yosef's question. It's not the Gemara. And answer number one is that, no, there is a practical ramification b'zman hazeh as well. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of your gimel. Have a good Shabbos.